Wonderful it is to enter into the house of God today. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of my God. And we're so thankful and grateful today that God has privileged us to be able to be together this morning and worshiping and honoring our God. This morning, I want to talk to you about a subject, no doubt, that has intrigued and perhaps served as a question in the minds of a lot of people. The baptism of fire. You know, and I ask, what would it be for you, the baptism of water or the baptism of fire? Now, what provokes this lesson is a statement that was made by John the Baptist many, many years ago. They were coming from around the region of Enon because there was much water there, and people were being baptized, all right, in water just as they were, and the disciples of Jesus baptizing in water. But John the Baptist says, or rather Jesus said here, he said that, you know, Jesus himself could either baptize us with water, the Holy Spirit, or fire. Now, John said, there is one who is coming after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unlatch. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So when you read the Bible, you understand that there is the baptism of water, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the baptism of fire. Well, let's go back originally here to the word baptism, which comes from a Greek word baptizo, which actually means to overwhelm. It means to purify, and it means to fully immerse. Now, you could be fully immersed in a lot of different things. You could be overwhelmed by a lot of things. You could be purified only by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we appeal to people to be baptized in water and raised up for the remission of their sins. And when we think of the baptism of fire, we think of that time when Jesus is going to burst the clouds of heaven and he will come to this earth and he will be calling those who have been unfaithful unto him and those who have never named the name of Jesus Christ into a lost and devil's hell. The baptism of water is so significant to us, and that's why Jesus said, go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, the account of that great commission is given in the book of Mark, chapter 16, when he said, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be condemned. But Jesus himself spoke of the baptism of water and of the baptism of fire. If you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins in water, then you are not a child of God. You are not a Christian. You may believe yourself to be a Christian, but in actuality, you are not a Christian until one has met the conditions of God's salvation. Well, we know what water baptism is, but what about the baptism of fire? What is it all about? The concept of baptism of fire, as I mentioned, comes from John the Baptist. I want to read this to you. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You see, his winnowing hand, that goes on to say, is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse out his threshing floor and gather wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And the Bible mentions this also in the other passages that I have here for you. But John characterized these Jews who Jesus was speaking to and who John was speaking to as the offspring of vipers, who would be advised to flee from the wrath that is to come, or the baptism of fire. And from that full statement, we can see that fire here deals with the separation of the just and the unjust, or the wicked, and the eternal punishment of the wicked. You know, a lot of people today do not believe that there is a place called hell. But isn't it interesting that Jesus described it over in the book of Matthew 25 as the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the just, and the baptism in fire is for the wicked. And so basically, John is stating that he, as a prophet of God, was given authority to convert people to Christ. And Jesus would be greater than he because Jesus had the authority to both convert people to our Lord Jesus and then to destroy the unconverted. That's why Christ in the book of Matthew 10 and verse 28 said, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but rather they may not be able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." And so when we talk about the baptism of fire, we're talking about the eventual separation of God from those in this world. The final fate of the wicked is given in this text. It says, "Every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire." And this place is called hell. It is made reference to, by the way, 116 times in all of the Bible. But it's referred to as a place of torment or separation and our eternal home for those who are lost and those who are separated from our God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, Paul says, "Each man's work will be evident, for the day will show it, because it revealed with fire," is revealed with fire, "and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work." And the King James says, "The fire will try each man's work." So then the idea is testing and trying and examining and improving what you are doing. God doesn't test us to see if we are worthy, but he tests us to see if we are ready. And that's the big question this morning. I ask you, are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? He is coming again, not to baptize people, except those who are baptized with fire. It would be too late for baptism in water when he comes again. There will be no baptism of the Holy Spirit when he comes again. But there will be that baptism of fire. And we must all live our lives in such a way as to honor our God who is in heaven. David one time in the book of Psalms simply said, "God, search me. Or search me, O God." Would you feel comfortable this morning saying that unto God? "God, search me. Look at my life." Look at what David says. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see, is there any offensive way in me? And lead me in the path that is everlasting." I dare say that a lot of folks could not say that today. They would not be able to say, "God, I want you to search me," because sin is on their hands. Someone said that the blood of Jesus is either on your hands or it is in your heart. and pray God today that it is in your heart, that you love the Lord enough. I don't want His blood on my hands, but I want His blood on my heart. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. And then when Peter wrote his epistle to the church in 1 Peter 1, he said in verses 3 and 5, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't. He wants you to be saved. Peter said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's called us to an inheritance, imperishable and undefiled and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God. And I will tell you this morning, if you're not a Christian, you're not being protected by the power of God. You're not. And that's why it's so important for you not to delay being baptized for the right reason. God is calling all men to believe the gospel and to be baptized for the remission of sin. Notice what He said, all of this. The unfading nature, the imperishableness, the undefiled is reserved in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation to be revealed in the last time. You see, the baptism of fire is not going to be a pretty thing. And I'm telling you, if you are not ready this morning to meet God, I'm telling you, the baptism of fire will be resting upon you. For Psalms 9 and verse 17, the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hellfire, and all nations that forget God. Well, what is that hell really going to be like? Well, hell is a place of weeping. Heaven is a place of rejoicing. There won't be any people weeping in heaven. There won't be any tears in heaven. For John says there's no sorrow, for all the former things have passed away. But he talks about hell as being a place of outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, Matthew 8 and verse 12, and many tears will be shed in hell. They will be remorseful tears. They will be tears given by those who have been unfaithful to God or those who have rejected His call. And the tears will be uncontrollable. They will be uncontrollable sobs. And they will ring through every portal of this eternal place called hell. It is true. Now, I know you didn't come this morning maybe to hear this sermon, but it's one you need to hear. Hell is real. And God is one of these days going to take vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said that in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. Hell is a place of torment. Now, can you imagine being in a place of torment for all eternity? We're not talking about a few years and you escape. We're not talking about 35 years for perhaps murdering a young man and then you're out. But we're talking about a place where the flame dieth not and the thirst is not quenched, Luke 16:24. You'll hear the cry of the rich man in Luke 16, but it will be too late. He was in torment, you see, Jesus speaking, and he said that he wanted to send Lazarus to put his finger in water and touch it to his tongue. And at that point, Christ said, it's too late. There is a chasm that divides the righteous from the unrighteous, heaven from hell. And those that are in heaven cannot come down to hell, nor can those who are in hell in the fiery pit cannot go into heaven. You cannot. And I'm telling you, a lot of people talk about going to heaven and being with their loved ones. If they were Christians and you're not a Christian, you're not going to your loved ones. You're not. You can wish it all day long. You can talk about it all day long. But unless you are a baptized believer in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God for the remission of your sins, you are lost and you are separated from God. There will be bodily pain as the fire scorches your body and your eyeballs are melted out of their sockets. Can you imagine? Your tongue will swell in your mouth. And it will be unlike anything that you could ever, ever imagine. It is so true. Thirdly, hell is a place of outer darkness. Have you ever been in a place where there was outer darkness? I remember hearing about Carlsbad Caverns, how they would get you down and they would turn out all the lights. I mean, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. That's what it's going to be like in hell. You won't recognize anybody in hell because it will be so dark and dismal and gloomy. You won't be able to see your loved ones if they didn't make it to heaven because you will not be able to see. There will be total darkness. And darkness gives you a lost sense of balance. You will be stumbling around and it will be too late. It's hard for us to fathom the outer darkness of what hell is really going to be like. But unfortunately, some Christians will be found in outer darkness. If they have left God, and if they're unfaithful to the Lord of heaven, there will be an outer darkness. You won't see anything. The earth will someday be burned up. Even scientists confirm that. Did you know that? They confirm what Jesus said, that the earth is winding down. And that one of these days it will be burned up, totally eradicated. Peter said that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then who shall those things be that you have provided? The heavens will disappear. And the elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. That, my friend, is the baptism of fire. A lot of people have tried to say the baptism of fire was when the apostles received the Holy Spirit of God. That's not the baptism of fire. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even though there were cloven tongues of fire that appeared over the head of each one of them. That was the baptism, the immersion, if you will, the overwhelming of the Holy Spirit of God upon the disciples to whom it was promised by Jesus. But not for us. But John was right when he said that Christ is coming again. And he is mightier than John. And he says, can baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit, and they were. Surely you don't want to experience the devil's hell. Sometimes people just kind of blow it off. Have you ever noticed that? They write it off and act like it's not true, it's not going to happen. And that's what they do. They read through the Word of God and they pick out a little passage here, and then they turn over here and pick out another little passage here and try to make the Bible say what they really wanted to say, and they will believe it. Instead of believing the true, unadulterated Word of God as it is given, they choose their own. And it's not just a matter of belief, folks. Do you know that Paul was not saved when he first believed? For God told him to go into the city, and there it would be told him of things that he must do. He goes into the city, and a preacher by the name of Ananias bears the truth and lays it open before him. And Saul had been blinded, couldn't see in front of his face, outer darkness, if you will. And Ananias said, "Saul, arise and be baptized in water, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That is still true today, my friend. It hasn't changed. God hasn't altered or ameliorated His commandment. It is still true today, just as it always has been from the day that it fell from the lips of that great preacher of God. People come on Sunday and they hear the message of God and they go out back into a world of sin and live instead of trying to serve God and honor Him and know most assuredly that what I'm telling you is true. But they do nothing at all about it. That's the reason I tell you this morning, it's either the baptism of water or the baptism of fire. Christ wants you to be saved, but it's a choice that you must make. And I appeal to you this morning with the love of God and the truth of God's eternal word to give your life to Him. Don't wait until it is too late. Don't be like the rich man of Luke 16 or Luke chapter 12. Or don't be like those of whom Christ described that are in a place of torment reserved for you if you reject God. You see, the devil has angels too, and they're in that fiery pit. You will either go to heaven or you will go to hell. There's no in between. It's up to you to make that decision. Maybe this morning you need to kneel at the cross. And maybe you need to surrender your life unto Jesus to be the Son of God. Acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. Acknowledge your belief. Acknowledge your repentance by turning from sin and then by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And it could be either right now or never. You will have there is no promise that you will ever have a moment like this again. This is your moment while we stand and while we sing.